Welcome, folks, to week 13 of Take the Points College Football Podcast. We're here for a special live Thanksgiving week show. We're going to bang this one out in about 45 minutes, all live, no edits, not like I really do any editing normally, but this one might be looser than normal. So I'm Tom. I'm here via Skype with Ryan and Dan. Ryan, we'll start with you. I've been away, so I didn't get to watch any college football, unfortunately, this weekend, except for a little bit of USC-UCLA. So did I miss anything important?
Tom, you did not. Pretty much everything went according to script. You know, every team that was ranked, they won. A bunch of the big teams played a lot of cupcakes. So it's a good week to go on a vacation, you know, do a little Christmas tree shopping and all that. This week, however, you're going to want to take the family. You're going to want to shove them to another room. And you're going to want to enjoy your Saturday.
You say that as a joke, but my wife is actually going to a baby shower that's for another member of the family. So all the female members of the Zeleznok family will be in another room, in another building, and all the male Zeleznoks will be watching allegedly the Syracuse game, but I'm going to see what we can do about that.
No. They're not going to get bowl eligible. They cannot get bowl eligible, even if they win. It's an irrelevant game.
Move it on.
No.
All right. Yeah, that's too much time devoted to Syracuse. All right. So there's no need for a recap then. We're going to start with the Big Ten, and we're going to get into the Week 13 lines. So I'll read them off, and then Dan P., who is locked somewhere in a dungeon of the Phoenix airport, will start it off. So we've got Iowa at Nebraska, Iowa minus 3.5. That's a Friday game. The rest of these are on Saturday. Indiana at Purdue, Purdue minus 2.5. Ohio State at Michigan, Michigan getting 12.5 points there. Penn State giving 21.5 at Maryland. Wisconsin giving 17 at Minnesota. Michigan State giving 14 at Rutgers, and Northwestern giving 17 at Illinois. So a lot of favorites on the road this week. Dan, what do you think?
There's a lot of horrible, horrible games going on in the Big Ten, unfortunately, this weekend.
Yes, I mean, but a lot of gambling opportunities in this conference.
Absolutely. Yes, I will discuss. Right off the bat, Northwestern is laying 16.5 points on the road to a team whose coach is owed about $45 million if they fire him. Let's just put that down on paper. Minnesota is one of the worst teams in the country. I would love to see Wisconsin lose. Not going to happen this week. Penn State is still not the same team after losing those two games. Their head just isn't into it. They gave up 44 points to Nebraska this week. Avoid laying 3 touchdowns on the road at Maryland. But two games I do want to talk about are Ohio State, Michigan, and Indiana, Purdue. I will start with Indiana-Purdue briefly. Purdue, first year under their new head coach, had a nice little year. They currently sit one game under 500 with one game left in the calendar. You know what that means, boys and girls. One more win to get bowl eligible. Making a bowl is about the equivalent of making, like, I don't know, like winning the conference championship almost for a first year coach, you know, taking over a horrible team. So the first thing is actually winning enough games to get to 500 and making a bowl. So if Purdue can get that done, it'll be a successful year. Indiana's no good. Lock of the week, Purdue minus 2.5 this week at home. And the other one, obviously, is Ohio State, Michigan. Ohio State did what we knew they were going to do the last couple of weeks and score about 55, 60 points on a bunch of cupcakes to, once again, looks like Ohio State might just make it into a playoff. And as far as this week goes against Michigan, obviously, I'll be rooting for Michigan, as always, hoping they pull the upset, but I just don't think this Michigan team can do it. They've had too many injuries to the quarterback position. They can't score enough points. Ohio State's rolling. Of course, I would love to see a huge upset. I just don't think it's going to happen. So I do like Ohio State minus the 12, even though I never wager it. But moral of the story, let's take Purdue. I think they win by at least a field goal and make it to a bowl.
All right, Ryan?
Well, Tom, as you said, not a lot to talk about in this Big Ten slate. I don't actually like any of these games, so I'm just going to go ahead and go on a rant real quick. Why the hell is JT Barrett one of the three finalists for the Davey O'Brien quarterback of the year award.
Joke.
He's not one of the three best quarterbacks of the year this season. It's a this season award. This isn't a lifetime achievement award for your 7 years at Ohio State, you asshole. This is ridiculous. There's no way he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the country this season, and that's a joke.
You're no, right. No, he's right. Probably, yeah. I mean, he's obviously not one of the three best. I was trying to think whether he's three best in the Big Ten. Like, if you took Lewicki of Michigan State and put him on Ohio State, would they be better? And that's a tough call. I think Trace McSorley probably makes Ohio State better. Yeah. I think nobody on Michigan. Anyway, we're not going to go through all of these, but he's at least second in the Big Ten alone. And he obviously can't compete with Rosen, Darnold, et cetera.
I disagree.
Sorry, go ahead.
I love the Northwestern quarterback. He's going to get drafted in the top three rounds in the NFL draft. You can mark that shit down. I'm telling you, that kid is legit.
All right.
I'll take either of Alabama's quarterbacks over him, and I'll do you one better. I'll take either Arizona quarterback over JT Barrett. I'll take the backup, Brandon Dawkins. He started last year. I'll take him over JT Barrett. He wouldn't be the first or second string on a team that might finish 500.
Ohio State with Khalil Tate definitely wins a championship. Or 90%.
100%. They
play in the finals for the title minimum, yeah.
Yeah, they make the title game 100%.
All right, so this is the last big week in the Big Ten, which is my conference that I watch the most. So I'm going to pick every single game here. You ready? Iowa, yep. -3.5 over Nebraska. This is the end of the Mike Riley era. It's been fun. He's a great guy by all accounts. It's over. Say hello to new coach Scott Frost next year. So they're not showing up for that one.
Yep.
I agree with Dan's lock of Purdue. This is not my lock. I have another lock later in the show, but I agree with the pick. I agree with the Ohio State pick. This year's Michigan team is just not up to normal Michigan or Harbaugh standards. They'll be better next year and probably going to be a couple years of rebuilding for this team. So watch for Ohio State to roll and then make a stake on a playoff run, as you said. We'll talk about this in a minute, but there's no team I'd like to see in the playoff less than this year's Ohio State. You're right about Penn State, Maryland. Penn State has nothing left to play for. They're probably going to win, and they're probably going to be a New Year's Six team, but that's not what they wanted. You know, the Peach Bowl is not acceptable to Penn State fans, given their expectations for this year. So they're not showing up for that game in Maryland. They'll win by 14, 17, but I don't think they cover. Wisconsin, Minnesota, I disagree. This is a rivalry game. I think this one's going to be tough. And I would take the 17 with Minnesota. They've been better the last couple weeks. I think they narrowly cover that by, you know, 15, 16. It's going to be close, I think, but I think they get it. Same with Rutgers. I'll take the 14. Rutgers is at home. They've been playing well the last several weeks. Michigan State, I don't know what they're doing, but they barely won against Maryland. They are not putting in their best effort. So I feel like they go to New Jersey and just try to get out of there with the win. And then Northwestern, who's been playing great against one of the worst teams in all of college football, Illinois, I will gladly lay the 17. So there you go. There's all my picks. Following up on what I just said, what's the one team that each of you does not want to see in the playoff of the teams that actually still have a shot?
Ohio State, hands down.
Ohio State, hands down.
And is it because you think that, much like last year, they're going to be the team that loses 31-0?
No, I just hate them. And I don't think that they should make the playoff as a two-loss team in the Big Ten. They had Oklahoma in September at home and lost that game by, 18, 20 points? Then they got hammered by a shitbag Iowa team. It's one thing to lose a close game on the road. It's one thing for Clemson to lose at Pitt without their starting quarterback. It's one thing for Oklahoma to you know, play all these crazy Big 12 teams with spreads and all these weird environments on the road. Those two losses for Ohio State are inexcusable. You can't have those two and still win a national title. Every other college team that existed before BCS would agree with me and say they lost by 30 to Iowa. No. So they have no business being in the playoff just for that reason alone.
All right. I agree 100%. And especially if you get a one loss Miami and a one loss Clemson, I don't see how you put Ohio State in over one of those if it's supposed to be just the best four teams. So who then of the teams still who have a chance to make the playoff, who would be the one who would be this year's Ohio State, who's the most likely to go in and lay a complete egg, like a Michigan State Oklahoma. A couple of years ago? Oklahoma?
Hands down, yeah. Oklahoma, as you've seen, has lost the game on the road. They've played some weird close games. Mayfield's a bit of a loose cannon. Oklahoma just, in general, seems to choke in these spots. And this Oklahoma team isn't, you know, super amazing. I mean, I think there's been better Oklahoma teams over the past 4 or 5 years, multiple better teams. So I think this Oklahoma team gets absolutely shelled in the playoffs.
I think I'd like to see the matchup. Ryan, you have a pick on that?
Oh, absolutely. Ricked. Are you kidding me? If you get like Miami against Alabama in the first round, you're telling me that that's not going to be a 45-0
game.
Ricked. Absolutely ricked. 100%.
All right. Ricked rolled.
That's we invented that, by the way, 3 years ago. It's on the podcast.
There's a lot of things we invented that we'll never get credit for.
Ricked rolled is definitely one of them.
Mesh pants. Remember, Dan, we had that idea like in sixth grade.
Mesh pants in the 80s. We're way ahead of everybody.
All right. Big 12. Baylor at TCU. TCU minus 25. Texas Tech at Texas. Texas minus 10.5. Both of those games on Friday. Looking like a good Friday schedule this year, which is nice. Last year, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like we got hosed on the Friday games. You know, everybody's off work. It's nice to have some good ones then. Also, Oklahoma State at home laying 41 against Kansas. And then Iowa State at Kansas State. That was off the board when I checked earlier. Maybe you've got a line, but Dan, why don't you take it first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's Kansas State minus 2.5 in that one. Yeah, a couple things about the Big 12. Interesting. First of all, TCU. This is an unbelievable stat. They've given up 0 second-half points in 4 consecutive games. That's unbelievable in college football, let alone in the Big 12. 0 second-half points allowed in the last 4 games. That's absolutely incredible. Hats off to Gary Patterson being one of the most underrated coaches here.
Yeah, that's another team that I'd rather see in over Ohio State if push came to shove. A one-loss TCU.
And they still have some injury issues. So I actually like an under in the Baylor TCU game at 51.5. Who would have thought I'd say I liked an under at 51.5 TCU Baylor over the past couple of years anyway.
Or any Big 12 game.
Yeah, 51.5. Texas, I like minus the 9. Texas Tech has struggled this year against good defenses on 2 or 3 occasions, actually, including last week. Texas's defense is very, very good. Be a nice way for Texas to round out the season, finish 2 games above 500 going into a bowl, which they could win and actually somehow salvage 8 wins out of this year, which would be incredible. Oklahoma State will win somewhere between 30 and 100 points, but it's impossible to say. I do like the under again in Iowa State, Kansas State. It's 49.5. Both teams have good defense. Both teams run the ball. I like the under. And I'll take West Virginia plus 22 at Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma sleepwalks through this one until the Big 12 title game, and I think West Virginia gives them a minor scare. They got some talent, some coaching. I think they can lose that game closer, so I kind of like West Virginia in the 22.
All right, Ryan, take it away.
West Virginia outright shocked the world.
Yeah.
There's always one, right? There's always one team that everyone pencils into the playoff that just chokes away a game late. And instead of, as Dan so well put, Oklahoma, as he foresees their future if they make the playoff, let's just get rid of that altogether. Let's just let Oklahoma get beat this week at home to Dana Holgorsen, who ain't scared of nobody, and Will Grier, who ain't scared of nobody. He could throw 3 picks in the first quarter like Nathan Peterman, but unlike that fraud, he's going to come back and throw 6 touchdowns for the rest of the game. Grier is unconscious. He's great. Sills is going to be the best receiver in that game, and who would have thought that was the case? So for me, give me West Virginia outright. Why the hell not? Let's shock the world. Let's eat some turkey. Same old Stoops.
I like it. Yeah, I forgot to name that one. I was going down the list.
I'm going to put a little bit on the money line for you, Ryan. I'm going to sprinkle a little on that money line.
Sprinkle. Like a little cranberry sauce, just a little taste on top, Dan.
Just a little taste. In case it comes in, you got to get a little taste.
In case Big Bob decides to wander down to the sideline for that game. Senior day, right? Wouldn't Bob Stoops show up on senior day?
You would think, but he's too busy interviewing for SEC jobs right now. Don't worry about that. He's coming back next year. One thing I do want to mention about the Big 12, our UT Horns, with a win this weekend, will finish third in the conference. So good job, UT Horns, under first year finish and third in the Big 12. Nobody would have saw that coming.
I think you just guaranteed a Texas Tech win, Dan.
No way. Texas is going to blow them out. Horns.
All right. That was going to be my one pick. I think that one's a little bit closer. I'll take those 10. All right. Big 12 is your conference. So if anyone's listening to this and thinking about who do I listen to, take Dan and spill its word over mine.
We love the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. Hook 'em horns.
That's great.
All right. The ACC, we have the aforementioned Mark Richt and Miami at Pitt. That's a Friday game, 14-point line. Va-Tech at Virginia, Friday game, 7-point line. Then on Saturday, we have Boston College coming to Syracuse, where I'll be. I do have a ticket to the game if I want to go, but I don't think I can make it. Boston College -3.5. Duke at Wake Forest. My Wake Forest Demon Deacons doing great. Yep. This is my battle of the two mediocre ACC teams that I've been rooting for the last 4 years. And finally, they match up. Wake Forest, a 12-point favorite. UNC at NC State in the game nobody wants to watch. NC State -16.5. That's it. So the non-conference rivalry games I'm going to save for later. So games like Louisville we'll get at the end. So why don't we cover those?
Sure. There's a lot of good rivalry stuff. I'm going to say BC wins against Syracuse if their quarterback's out again and they cover the spread. I mean, you know, I don't want to overreact to a Syracuse quarterback being too big against the line, but I mean, last week was so easy. As soon as he was out, Louisville was the easiest lock the week we've had in a long time. So, yeah, I'll pick BC again. But yeah, I have a lot more to say about the rivalry games.
All right. Yeah. As heard here on Take the Points, Louisville last week, Lamar Jackson, by the way, his stats are almost the same as last year when he won the Heisman Trophy. Now, obviously, yep, the team is not in the national conversation like they were last year, and I'm not saying that he should win it again, but just in terms of scoring and yards, he's doing pretty well. So that was an easy one. I like Boston College also. Ryan, what do you think?
I kind of like, as bad as they've been, Pitt a little bit in this spot. The points. I like the point, and here's why. Only one reason. That game is at noon on Friday.
In Pittsburgh.
The day after Thanksgiving in Pittsburgh on Heinz Field.
Yep.
It's gonna be cold. It's gonna be early.
Keep in mind that high school games in Pittsburgh take place on Thanksgiving on Heinz Field. That stadium every year this weekend is a total clusterfuck. It's always mess. It's always torn up. I really like that pick as well, Ryan. I was going to mention that next. Well, good job.
All right. I don't agree. Pitt is very, very bad. And this is big time college football down at Miami. They're not celebrating Thanksgiving the way we are, getting stuffed. Like, they'll be ready to go.
Well,
they'll be cold. They're getting stuffed with other stuff.
Last time an ACC team made a trip all the way up north, I believe Clemson lost to Syracuse. So to play outside of Heinz Field on a week before the ACC title game in a no man's land spot against a shitbag Pitt team, Miami will have zero motivation. Now, if Pitt was any good at all, then they might actually have a chance, but I kind of like pitting the points. But what I was going to say about these rivalry games real quick is that the schedule makers really tried for upsets, right? They got Miami at Pitt. They got Virginia Tech at Virginia. They got Florida State at Florida, and they got where's the last one? Louisville at Kentucky. So basically, they made all these rivalry games, like road games for the, you know, superior team. Now, of course, it's scheduling and the alternate and all that, but there's a lot of tricky spots in the ACC. I would not be shocked if Miami or Virginia Tech or Georgia lost this weekend. I think one of those three loses for sure.
All right. I don't think it's going to be Miami, but, you know, maybe it'll be close.
One of those
and
three.
And there's the Clemson at South Carolina is another one, too. That's same thing.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later on. So let's go to the SEC, and we'll stick with the only SEC on SEC opponents. So you've got the Egg Bowl on Thursday. Mississippi State at home is a 16-point favorite. Missouri, who has been playing really well, now I believe Vegas might have overinflated how good they actually are. So they're a 11.5-point favorite at Arkansas. That's on Friday. Vandy, a 1-point dog at Tennessee. And then Texas A&M at LSU, that's a 10.5-point line for LSU. So, Ryan, why don't you start this one?
Oh, all right.
Well, you disagree like vehemently with my Missouri statement, so go ahead.
Let's start there, Tom. Missouri is the real deal. They really are. The Drew Locke is you know, that guy can play 3,300 yards, 38 touchdowns already this year.
Yeah, but
you
know, against that guy who? Can play
against his everyone on their schedule, basically. I mean, he's done this last week too. I mean, this guy's putting up some points. Arkansas is terrible. They don't care. They cannot get bowl eligible. Even if they win this game, they're still only at 5-7. So there's just no motivation at all for Arkansas to care in this game. We don't even know who the hell is going to play quarterback because the guy that got the DUI has been deemed back eligible again. But they won't say if he's going to start or not.
DUI so, in Arkansas is like a jaywalking.
That is correct.
Couple of games, bring him back in. They're going to do some kind of weird split time thing. That stuff splits the locker room. I just think Missouri in an absolute rout in this game. I think they can beat it. I think this is going to be like 38-13.
All right. I've been betting Missouri the last 3 or 4 weeks. I like them a lot, but I just think going to Arkansas with the streak they've been having, I think it's got to cool off at some point. I'll take them for the win, but I think it's a 7 or 8 point game at most. We'll see.
4 scores.
All right. Anything else before we turn it over to Dan?
Egg Bowl. Egg Bowl is a bit interesting. That line opened at 17 and within like an hour or two dropped all the way down to 14.5, and it's probably going to keep dropping. So that's just an interesting one to me, something to keep an eye on. You know, that a rivalry game jumped was opened that high. That seems a little odd. I think they're getting it back to where it should be. These games like this, you can never have that spread that ridiculously high.
All right, Dan, what do you think? I know you got a pick for A&M at LSU, so let's do that one.
Sure. First of all, since we're not doing greatest games of our lifetime, let's just do the Iron Bowl last today. How about we do that?
That's the plan.
Okay, good. All right. So, first of all, other SEC picks this week. Throughout this year, I've made the mistake of saying that certain teams have one game on their schedule where they traditionally normally lose, and this is their one chance, and yada, yada, they'll be motivated, and they've lost every time. Once again, Vandy never beats Tennessee, is at Tennessee, only getting a point. You're like, this is the year. Tennessee's horrible. Nope. Vandy's been even worse, especially the last couple of weeks. I like Tennessee -1, actually. And trap of the week, out of nowhere, Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M +11 at LSU. Sumlin's trying to save his job. If he wins this game, he finishes 8-4, which is pretty respectable, actually. I don't trust Coach O. I never know what LSU team's going to show up. I know it's, you know, on the road, Death Valley, all that stuff, but I think A&M's going to keep it close. I don't trust the LSU offense. I'll take Sumlin, job on the line, and, you know, 11 points. So trap of the week, let's roll with A&M.
All right, over to the Pac-12. This is all you guys. So Cal at UCLA, UCLA -7.5 on Friday. Arizona, Arizona State, you guys are required to both pick this game. And Arizona, a one-point favorite at Arizona State. The Civil War, Oregon State getting 25.5 at Oregon. And then over in the Apple Cup, Washington State at Washington this year. And Washington is a 9-point favorite. And then Colorado has to go out to Utah, one of the toughest places to play. And Utah -10.5. So, Dan, you go first.
Sounds good. Utah, Colorado, don't watch that game. It's going to be horribly boring. I'll take Washington State plus the 10 at Washington. I don't believe in Washington. I didn't believe in them last year. Don't believe in them this year. I'll take the 10, even though I'll probably lose. I like Oregon State plus 24.5. They went to a ground-and-pound attack with a 240-pound running back and a fullback. Oregon's got their running or their quarterback back. I think the clock just runs too much in this game. I'll take the points. Cal at UCLA. UCLA has been the same story for the last, I don't know, our whole life. We don't know if we can ever trust them. I mean, they've literally been inconsistent since we were born. Interesting to see who will be the head coach going forward. And then the Battle of Arizona. Kind of a fun one this year. What a weird year for Arizona football between U of A and Arizona State. We thought both coaches were definitely getting fired. Each of them had some really good moments. Arizona State beat Washington at home somehow, and Washington was ranked in the top 10. Khalil Tate's going to finish in the Heisman conversation as top 4 or 5. Rich Rod looks like he has like potential next year to have his best team ever in Arizona. This is a weird game. This is a super rivalry game. This is the most important game in the state of Arizona. People actually do get excited for this game here. They care far more about this than any Arizona Cardinals game, yada, yada. It's going to be really close. It's really too hard to pick. I know you can say, oh, Khalil Tate, but they just lost at Oregon. It was a physical game. Some players got injured. They actually lost 2 of their starters on defense in that game. It's a really weird game. Of course, if I had to pick, I'm going to take Khalil Tate in Arizona, but I would not be shocked even 1% if Arizona State wins this game. So pretty much a stay away.
All right, Ryan, Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. That's a tough game to pick. I'm definitely leaning Arizona, but again, that's a tough one. You know, you would think before I saw the lines, I thought it would probably be like Arizona -4.5, maybe even all the way up to 6. And then and you're just like, no, Vegas nailed it. They know this. Yep. This game's always close.
Every year.
Cal UCLA, do not watch that game. I have no idea. Just stay the hell away from that. I'm staying all the way away from the Oregon State game. I want nothing to do with that. I do agree with Dan. I want those points in the Apple Cup. I like Mike Leach. Always like Mike Leach. Always going to ride and die with my boy. And then for me, my favorite pick in the Pac-12 this week actually is I love Utah in a bloodbath. 2 5-6 teams. We talk about it. I talk about it probably a lot too much on this podcast, but Utah is just so impossibly hard to play at. Colorado just has no motivation in this game. I think Utah absolutely slaughters them, and that's my favorite pick in the Pac-12.
All right. I always will lean Utah at home. Ryan, earlier in the year, you said that Mike Leach was going to win outright at Washington. So I want to follow up on that. What do we think now? Money line?
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of knowing nothing about the Pac-12, except that it's late and way after my bedtime, so I don't watch it much. I'm going to take a flyer on Mike Leach to win outright at Washington. Why the hell not? He's been the best this year, from his opinions on candy corn to saying that a game was like Woodstock with less naked people. This has been the year of Mike Leach.
I agree.
This might be Mike Leach's second to last game as the Washington State coach. There's a really good chance that he gets a little bit of a bigger job after this season. So I really like the motivation there.
Do you think if Kevin Sumlin's done at A&M, he would fit in pretty well at Texas A&M?
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I've heard him floated for Tennessee even. I think he'd be a great fit at any of the major schools. I mean, if you want to be exciting, And you look at how bad Washington State was, the laughing stock for years of the Pac-12. And now he's got them competing toward the top. I think he's a great coach. And you get all the antics to go along with it. I think it's a win-win.
If UCLA misses out on Chip Kelly, is there no other option except for Lane Kiffin? Seriously. I mean, like, Lane is the second best option. I'm not even joking anymore. Like, UCLA should really consider Lane Kiffin as the head coach.
I don't know if we have time for this conversation in this, which a short podcast that we're trying to get through, but I would think Lane is as good of a choice as Chip Kelly. I think Chip Kelly's ship has sailed.
Wow.
I think he'll be all right, but I think if anybody hires Chip Kelly expecting the, you know, 2010 or 2011 Oregon Chip Kelly, they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Good point. Good point. I also read that the reason why he won't go to UCLA is because they're Under Armour, and it will, and all of his connections are still with Phil Knight and Nike, and it will mess up his recruiting and a lot of stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Chip Kelly in the right spot could be an amazing coach once again. I think Florida would be a pretty good spot because they've got the history with our favorite ball coach and the run and gun. I guess UCLA would be another good spot for him, but
yeah,
it's no guarantee that you hire Chip Kelly and you're going to be great. That's, yep. I guess that's how I would phrase it.
Oh yeah, completely agree.
All right, non-Power 5, a few games we'll go through. Game of the year in the non-Power 5, South Florida at Central Florida. Central Florida trying to cap off an amazing season. Scott Frost most likely off to greener pastures. They're an 11-point favorite. They play on Friday. Dan, is this a Florida football theorem game where the Florida players all know each other and therefore it's going to be close?
Always. I always take the points in inter-Florida games. It does not change. It goes on every single year. No, really. Really take effect in this game. Both teams non-Power 5, under the radar, a lot of pride, have been arguing all season with all their boys on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram over who the best Florida team is. So both teams are going to bring it for sure. So I'll take the points, absolutely.
Yeah, Central Florida seems a little bit better, and they've got a little bit of a better coach, and they have a chance to play, I guess, in a New Year's Six if they win this game. So
yeah,
I'll take them, but not minus 11.
Agree.
I love the over in that game, guys. 63.5. Both these teams are scoring about 38, 40 to 45 a game each. I really like the over there.
All right, UConn at Cincy. Cincy minus 5.5. Dan, I think this is UConn's last game, although I've given up on UConn football for the year. I was at a wedding this past weekend, and, you know, I was talking to a guy from Texas, and he's like, yeah, where are you from? And then we start talking about football, obviously, because he's from Texas. And he's like, UConn football, they were okay once, right? Weren't they good? And I'm like, yeah, they made the Fiesta Bowl. And he was like, oh my God, they did make the Fiesta Bowl. It's just like we talk about. I told him that it might be some weird peyote dream, as we always discuss, but Randy Etzel V 2.0 has not gone as well as expected in year one.
no, Tom, it went exactly as expected.
Well, it went as we expected, but not as okay. East Hartford residents expected.
Thanks for the clarification.
Dan, you're the alumni. You want to give a short wrap up of UConn's season and what may be to come?
I will give a short recap of their season. UConn football is so awful that between UConn football and Kevin Ollie, the basketball team is now also ruined. You can go ahead and take UConn hoops and throw them in with UConn football because they almost lost to Stony Brook the other night. That's it. I'm done. College basketball, game over. I'm never watching again. It's been a good run.
Hey, Stony Brook is Long Island's third best school.
We're done here. We're done with all college basketball. I can't take it. I hate March Madness. Last year was it. The last year I ever want to see it. We're done. Cincinnati minus 5.5 with Luke Fickell, first-year coach. Looking to get a nice win to end the year, make everyone watch that bad taste out of their mouth. Here come the UConn Husk to roll in and choke it away. So I'll take UConn football minus 5.5. I'll take UConn basketball minus 9.5 minus, I guess, UConn. So there you go.
All right. UTEP, we've been talking about them as the worst team in college football. They go to UAB. It's a 20.5 point line. I know literally nothing about UAB. They are an Alabama school, so I assume they get some of the Alabama runoff. So all I know is that Mike Price, we've talked about many times, we don't have to rehash, but UTEP is the worst team, and we will be betting against them the rest of the year, as we said. And so I'm laying this sight unseen. Does anyone want to talk me out of this?
Nope. It's all you, Tom. Nope. I'm on board.
All right. Florida Atlantic is a 21.5 point favorite at Charlotte. Possibly Lane Kiffin's last game. Or no, I guess they're going to be in a bowl, so.
Hell yeah, they're going to be in a bowl.
Well, whether he's there for that bowl is TBD, but.
Good point, Tom. Good point, Tom.
What do you want to say about Lane Kiffin and the Florida Atlantic Owls?
Excellent job by Lane and his coaching staff. They're going to win the conference. They turn the team around. The whole students all, like, love them. They got signs on campus, and it makes them a nationally, you know, recognized university. Admissions are up, all that good stuff. Hats off to Lane. Hope you go to UCLA.
That was the best hire of the past year, in my
opinion. Yeah, it was. Number one.
Because you took a school that nobody could even pick out on a map. It's like Florida Atlantic. What's that? Daytona? Like, nobody.
No one knew.
You're like, I know it's on the Atlantic side just because of the name. Nobody knows anything. And now we see people with cardboard cutouts of Lane pouring Bud Lights over the cardboard cutout, which is hilarious. And you're nationally recognized. You got to come to the FAU banner flying over College Game Day, which may or may not have been orchestrated by Lane himself.
100% yes.
Great hire. And even if this is the end, good job, Florida Atlantic. Go for the next guy like Lane. And other small schools, this is what we've been talking about for 5 years on this show. You're never going to win a national title. So get a guy who's exciting. Get a guy who makes the students excited and want to come to the game. Syracuse did it with Dino Babers. They're not really any better, but more people like going to the games. And Florida Atlantic did it with Lane, and they are much better, and people love going to the games. So, Dan, a final word on Lane?
I would, to make a final point about Lane. And I don't remember exactly what it was, so we're just going to move right on to the next topic.
Sorry. All right. Ryan's got to weigh in on Lane, too. We all get a turn.
Go right
ahead. I want to save mine for the bowl preview show and his bowl game, because that will be his last game, and I want to be very eloquent in my thoughts. Okay. But Dan looks like he really has something else to say.
I figured it back out. I haven't been myself since the whole Art Briles scandal went down. I just don't feel like the same man I was before the scandal. So it's good to see Kendall Briles at FAU keeping the torch alive for the Briles family. And watch out for Kendall. He might be a head coach here in a couple of years.
I said last year or 2 years ago before the scandal that Kendall Briles should have been hired by UConn. Mm-hmm. And I will stand by that forever. Dan,
absolutely.
Boise State against Fresno. Tell us about this game.
Sure. Real quick. This is an ultra rare gambling opportunity. You only see this. Well, you normally see this in the NFL in week 17. These two teams will be playing next week in the Mountain West Championship game. They're both 1-9-2, 1-8-3. Both kind of, had a nice season. Moral of the story is next week they're playing in the conference championship game. So this week will be a vanilla, lackluster game where no one's going to show each other anything. The difference between winning the Mountain West Conference Championship and losing it, if I'm correct, the loser goes to the Vegas Bowl, which is one of the worst bowls of the year. And the winner actually gets to play somewhere around January 1st. So there's a pretty big difference there. Look for both coaches to show nothing but running up the middle and punting. Love the under in this game. Lock of the week, under. Or trap of the week, or total, wherever the hell it is. Total of the week, under.
Total of the week. All right, I have a rare lock of the week, non-Power 5. North Texas is a minus 13.5 point favorite at Rice. Rice is 1-10 overall, 1-6 in conference. Their only win is over UTEP, who, as we just mentioned, is maybe the worst team in college football. They are averaging 16.5 points a game in 2017 in college football. North Texas, meanwhile, is first in the Conference USA West, 8-3 overall, second overall in Conference USA. They are coming off a 52-49 win over Army, who, say what you want about Army, but that's a legit more big time school. They're averaging 38.2 points a game. I won't break down all the betting trends, but let me just tell you that you can look it up. They all favor North Texas. So North Texas, you know, coming off a win is like 5-1 against the spread. Games where they score, 40 points or more. The game after, they're 5-1 or something like that. And then the one trend for Rice is that they are 1-4 in their last five home games against the spread. So all the betting trends favor North Texas. North Texas is a good team, scoring a lot of points. Rice is a bad team, arguably the second worst team in all college football. It's possible. And they do not score a lot of points. So I like North Texas a lot. The only thing is, it is on the road, but Rice is not a very good home team. And that's it. So I would lay it with North Texas. I like them a lot. One of my favorite bets I've seen, certainly this week, and one of the better ones in the last month or so.
Very nice.
All right, let's do the non-conference rivalries, then we'll do the Iron Bowl. So we got Louisville at Kentucky, Louisville minus 10. Georgia at Georgia Tech, Georgia minus 11.5. Florida State trying to sneak into a bowl game. They go to Florida where they're favored by 5.5. Clemson at South Carolina, Clemson 14-point favorite. And then Notre Dame at Stanford, Notre Dame minus 2.5. So Dan, as you mentioned earlier, all the favorites on the road this week.
Yeah, very, very tricky. Also tricky is recording a podcast with 1% on your phone while at the airport. So I'm going to try to make this as fast as possible before I cut out. The only thing I'm going to talk about is the Iron Bowl. I'm going to let you guys finish it off. Sorry, guys.
Let's do the Iron Bowl then.
All right, here we go. Iron Bowl. Alabama's got too many injuries on defense. Jalen Hurts still has ghosts from his national title game in his head. Auburn wins outright 28-24. You guys have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye. Dan, happy Thanksgiving.
Take care, guys.
See you
later. Bye.
All right. Me and Ryan will finish it off then. We might as well stick with the Iron Bowl, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was a pretty bold way for Dan to sign off there, going against rule number one. As listeners know,
that's crazy.
Rule number one. It's crazy, right? Rule number one, don't bet against Alabama. So, I like to follow the rules, Tom. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
That's right.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with Tom, or with Dan, and I'm going to actually say Alabama wins this game, and I think it's going to be 24-23. It is close. I think Auburn does cover, but I think Alabama wins the game.
All right, yeah. I guess, gun to my head, if I had to pick, Auburn's been playing great, and getting 4.5 seems like the pick, but I always resort to rule number one of take the points, as you said, which is do not bet against Nick Saban under any circumstances at any time. And I still have seen a few games this year where Jared Stidham didn't look great. Of course, those were earlier in the year, and he's been great later. And Alabama has been shutting teams down. I know they played a little closer the last few weeks, so the trends certainly favor Auburn, and that's why I'll stay away. But it's Alabama, man. I mean, you got to show me, you got to prove it to me. I'm not going against them. So I don't have the courage that Dan has in this pick. Saban.
I agree.
Go with Saban, always.
Follow the rules.
All right, so any thoughts on any of those other non-conference rivalries? I know one of you mentioned, I can't remember who, that Georgia Tech might cover against Georgia.
Dan definitely liked that one. That's a one that's a tough one for me because I've been on Georgia all year. I've been really high on Georgia from day one, but I've also loved Georgia Tech all year. And this is a spot where Georgia Tech at 5-5 need a win to get bowl eligible for their boy Taquan Marshall. Whew, man, I don't know that Georgia loses this game. So for me, it's a complete stay away, but don't be surprised if Georgia Tech could pull this off.
All right, in a rivalry, and especially these last week rivalry games, the big ones that these teams have been playing for 50, 100 years in some cases, I'm always going to lean toward taking the points. unless there's just an enormous talent disparity or one of the teams sucks or something like that. So while I think Georgia wins, I do think Georgia Tech's able to cover. I would lean toward taking the points with Kentucky, who's been all right this year, and Louisville, as we've said, except for one blowout against Syracuse, they haven't looked great in the last, essentially the last year, dating back to late 2016. So I'll take the 10 with Kentucky. I'll take the 11.5 with Georgia Tech. Florida State, I think, is going to weasel their way into a bowl after looking like they were totally out of it. So I'm actually going to go ahead and lay, well, I'm not going to do this because you're not going to bet on one of those teams. But if I had to pick, I would lay the 5.5 with Florida State. I think they go into the swamp and they get the win. And then they have the rescheduled game against whatever division two team, or I forget.
No, it's UL Monroe, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. That's who it is. So they've got the rescheduled game next week against UL Monroe. I think they get that. And I think they finish, I believe that would make them 6-6. And look out, St. Petersburg, because the Bad Boy Tractor Bowl is going to have Justin Blackman and Florida State. Or James Blackman.
Oh,
I keep calling him Justin Blackman, like the Oklahoma State receiver.
That's fine. He's just, it might be him anyways. We don't know where that guy is. He drank himself out of the NFL. I will say that I actually really like, as crazy as it sounds, I really like the under in that game at 44. Although with the caveat of there's a good chance that there might be three or so defense special teams touchdowns, and that could absolutely push this game over. But based on offensive capabilities and play calling, I would definitely lean towards under this NFL-like 44.
All right. Yeah, so those are my picks. Clemson at South Carolina. I don't really have a pick there. I'd probably lean Clemson.
Total Clemson all day.
Okay. I mean, I certainly think Clemson is going to win and Miami's going to win, and that's going to be your matchup in the ACC for a playoff spot, which is going to be a great game next week. And then Notre Dame at Stanford. I don't know. I don't think records can count in this game. You would think Notre Dame should have the advantage here as they seem to be the better team, but I don't know. At Stanford, Stanford's been playing pretty well, or they've been playing lousy, but they force their opponents to also play lousy. So they've been winning these low scoring, ugly games. So that's a tough one. Total stay away for me.
Oh, not for me, Tom. Not for me.
You like those smart kids? I guess they're both smart kids, huh?
Yeah, but one's better. The warmer smart kids. I'm going to go ahead, Tom, and I'm going to jump on that Palo Alto tram. I was going to say bandwagon, but that's not energy efficient. So we're going to ride share around Palo Alto on the electric bandwagon of Bryce Love. And we're going to go Stanford outright. Just makes sense. Stanford would finish 9-3. Notre Dame would finish 9-3. Just feels right that they would both have the same record at the end of the year. So for me, I really like Stanford in this game.
All right. So Bryce Love, the Heisman runner up, I'm guessing he's going to have a big game.
Well, as long as he, keeps his hands off his crotch, he might actually have a chance to do something huge against Notre Dame and potentially, if Oklahoma chokes and Mayfield, they choke because Mayfield is suspended for a half or whatever that ends up being, we'll see. We'll see. I think Bryce Love has a chance in this game to go for like 230 and make that Heisman conversation a lot tighter than anyone thought.
I just always look at records, and you've got Oklahoma who's in the top three. And even if they lose a top 10 team, and Stanford is kind of, where are they ranked now? Hovering around 20th. So it just seems weird to me for a Heisman winner to come from a school that's like 20th best.
But if they beat number 8 Notre Dame, then that moves them up to about 15th. If Oklahoma loses to West Virginia and then loses in the Big 12 title game to end their season with two straight losses, Now they have the same exact record as Bryce Love. Three losses. I'm just saying, I know that a lot of the websites took that odds down completely because it was just so lopsided they were going to lose a ton of money on Mayfield. But I'm just saying that the conversation's not completely over yet.
This year's Heisman doesn't feel compelling to me. Baker Mayfield's had a great career and a good season, but when you stack him up against other guys who've won the Heisman in the last 10 years even, it just seems underwhelming. Like, I don't feel like we're going to look back on this season and be like, you remember what Baker Mayfield did that year in 2017? Seems like a down year for the Heisman.
The things I'll remember are his antics, not his performance on the field. That's the thing. Like, he's only thrown for what, like 500 yards more than Lamar Jackson?
Sure.
And Lamar Jackson's going to finish with 1,500 rushing yards that Mayfield definitely does not have. So, I don't know. I don't buy it.
It's about the wins and the performance and how the team did as well, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with Baker Mayfield winning the Heisman. I'm just saying, compared to other Heisman years, compared to, you know, when you look back at Jameis Winston, Tim Tebow, even other ones like Sam Bradford. Like, I feel like I look back and Sam Bradford had a better, you know, he was very important to that team. I don't know.
I agree. I think this is definitely not a compelling season. It's not a fun Heisman season.
I rescind what I just said about Sam Bradford. I take that one back. But compared to other guys like Tebow, Cam Newton, certainly, compared to the great Heisman winners, I don't think Mayfield is going to rank up there. But congrats to him.
Eh, fair enough.
Good enough. Great career.
He's still a dick.
He'll start on the Buffalo Bills, 100%.
They're not dumb enough to draft him. There's no chance. There's no way they're dumb enough to draft him.
Oh, the Bills are dumb enough to do a lot of things. So, Ryan, Dan's not here, so we can finally talk Buffalo Bills. You were texting me, so I was away over the weekend and couldn't watch the game, and you and our other friends were texting, you know, God, Buffalo sucks. And this happens pretty much every Sunday, so I didn't think much of it. But then I noticed I'm getting a lot of Bills sucks text messages, like more than normal. I finally, later on that night, after I was done with all the events I was doing, I look at the score and the recap. My God, man, this was historically bad for our team.
Oh, it was bad, Tom. It was bad. It's a tough spot. It's
Nathan
a tough
Peterman
situation.
May not be the long-term solution.
He's not even a short-term, like, stopgap. He's no good. We knew he was no good. The reason Pitt was awesome last year was because Pitt had the best rushing attack in the game, play calling and scheme-wise. You know, he didn't do squat. I just don't think he's any good. I think they're just trying to tank out. They looked at their schedule and they're like, even if we make the playoffs, we got no shot. So let's just tank it out, keep stockpiling picks and young talent, just wait for Brady to retire. Like, that's just wait for Brady to retire. I didn't even watch the rest of the game. I turned that crap off and Dan and I played some FIFA instead. We cooked some pasta and some fried scallops and we played some FIFA. We didn't even watch the end of that crap.
The annoying thing about rooting for a team that's in the same division as Tom Brady is not only is he the best quarterback ever, but he's also going to play till he's like 57 years old because he lives in a hyperbolic chamber and never has any fun and his body's in perfect condition. He's never going to retire. He's going to die on the field at age 74.
He's got four seasons left.
Nah, he's going to be like Gordie Howe. He's going to be 74 years old, trotting out there and still winning, still going like 12-4.
Oh, I hope not. I'm hoping four seasons is what I see. I honestly think he can play four more. We'll see. But until then, don't get excited. Just hope they don't screw up the drafts. They're just stockpile some talent. Don't do this. Don't try to make a quick fix out of this. You know, trust the process.
All right. Well, I've been trusting the process for what, 19 years without a playoff appearance. So I'm having my faith in the process is wavering.
This will be 18 this year, Tom. Don't get exaggerating here. I mean, it's only 18 seasons without the playoffs.
All right, we're fine. Do you have
any on the bright side? Yeah. Aren't you excited to bet against Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone this year in the playoffs? How fun is that going to be watching them implode?
Yeah, there's a lot of bad teams this year. So I assume the Patriots will just win it again and be one of the worst Super Bowl champions of all time. But we'll see.
Let's just all be Steeler fans here, and that's the best we can do. Let's just be Steeler fans. That way we can root for Dan and his team, and we can root against New England. And, that's the best we can hope for. I think the NFC is no good either. So I think Pittsburgh's the best chance to beat New England.
So we got about 5 minutes left on our podcast. Anything else you want to talk about?
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Be safe. If you live in a city that has Lyft or Uber, then freaking use it. Don't be an idiot. Don't drink and drive, people. As much as we love tailgating and talking about that and watching football and hanging out with friends, like, just do it responsibly. Be safe this weekend. We want all you listeners to be back. We need the stats. Don't drink and drive. Don't be an asshole.
Yes, I agree with that. In addition to being bad for society and yourself, like, driving's just a pain in the ass, especially when you're going out drinking. It's so easy now. Like, we really missed out, you know? I remember when we were younger and we would go to the Syracuse Suds factory, it was just like, well, who's going to bite the bullet and have to drive tonight? And then it was always me, because you guys all lived in the same, well, you were a little further away, but all our other friends lived in the same neighborhood. And they were like, Tom, you got to come over here and get all of us, because we're all here.
Well, because you had the biggest vehicle too.
That too.
You and Kevin had the two big vehicles, so you and Kevin drove the most.
Yeah. The key is, I mean, now there's Uber and Lyft, so it doesn't matter. But the key back then was to wait till you're like 25 to get your license and then have like a two-seater.
Oh, I knew a kid in college had a not a Range Rover. What's the other one? The Land Cruiser. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It's the same. It's huge. He had one of those massive things freshman year in college, and we made him drive us everywhere. The whole, like, packed as like 15 people in that damn thing, maybe more. Sophomore year, he comes back to school, shows up with a Mini Cooper. He's like, screw you guys. I can fit one of you. Two max.
Yeah, they're smart. Yeah, we had a friend named Trish who had a minivan, and getting your parents' minivan for college is a bad idea, because you're always going to be stuck driving. So
driving four times the amount of people that should legally fit in that vehicle.
Oh yeah. People on laps. Like, we broke all sorts of Poughkeepsie laws. Actually, No, we didn't, because that's an oxymoron. There are no laws in Poughkeepsie, New York.
That's true. I do recall times driving back from parties or whatever in college, and then having to tell the person who was sitting on the middle console, they would have to, every now and again, I'd just say, ass up. So I could shift, because they would sit on the stick shift.
Yep.
And then I would just have to tell them, like, ass up, so I could shift. All right, you're good. All right, ass up. And then shift again. So yeah, I do remember those days of packing. I think I got like 9 people in my Nissan Altima, like 93 Altima back in the day. I think it had over 200,000 miles on it. It was a beast.
I remember driving to Noah's Pub at Marist College with not one, but 2 people in the trunk of my Dodge Stratus. So we had like 7 people in the Dodge Stratus and then 2 people laying down in the trunk with the trunk closed. And Poughkeepsie, not the nicest city, a lot of potholes there. So we got to Noah's, which was only like a 7-minute drive. It was pretty close. And I open it up. I'm like, are you guys all right? They're like, holy shit, we're just bouncing up and down the entire ride. So that was the last time that happened.
I had a friend who always called trunk. So like, you come out of the bar and people like calling shotgun, he'd call trunk.
See, I'd call trunk, like, no one in else a minivan or a SUV, and I think that's a good spot. But in that's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, oh yeah. He called trunk in my Nissan all the time. He's like, trunk. But he was from New York City, so a trunk was luxurious for him.
These people are now doctors, lawyers, soon to probably politicians in 10 years. All these idiots that we drove around in our trunks are now running the world. So on that note, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Be safe.
Yeah, enjoy it. Thanksgiving's an awesome holiday. It's a great slate of games this week. You got the Iron Bowl, which is going to be awesome. So enjoy it, everyone. We'll be back next week with another podcast, and I think we'll probably be back with the greatest teams of our lifetime next week. So we got, what, 95 Nebraska versus 01 Miami?
Oh, that's a big one. We need an extra week to prepare our thoughts because that's a big one.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week with conference championship games, and then probably a greatest teams of our lifetime. So that's going to be a top-notch podcast. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time. Happy Thanksgiving.